Now, I got a question for you that may sound a little odd, and you got to sort of think about this. But did you ever think of yourself as God's gift to Jesus? We think about it the other way, right? We think about Jesus being God's gift to us. But did you ever think about you being God's gift to Jesus? Now, Ryan's saying he thinks about that all the time. Okay, I hear him over there. Okay, and what I want you to know, that at least in Ryan's case, Jesus got the short end of the stick. Okay? All right, he put himself out there. I'm sorry, I couldn't miss it. I mean, you know, you stick your neck out, your head gets chopped off. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, when you think about it, us getting Jesus is pretty good stuff, right? But Jesus got us.
He got me.
Yeah. Okay. He kind of got the short end of the stick, right? I mean, when you think about it, it's hard to imagine that we could be God's gift to Jesus. And yet the passage of Scripture, which Lil just read in your hearing, says just that. In verse 6 of that passage, Jesus says, "Father, you gave them to me out of the world. They were yours, but you gave them to me." Now, folks, Jesus was indeed thanking God for the first disciples, but in turn, thanking God for us too. He was thanking God for the gift he had been given, and we are God's gift to Jesus. Think about it. You are God's gift to Jesus. Now, this gift, us, was given to Jesus in a remarkable way. And I got to say, since this is the first Advent, the first Sunday in Advent, that God's into giving gifts in remarkable ways. I mean, Jesus was his gift to us. And how did Jesus come? By the ordinary method, hardly. Born of a virgin in a barn, okay? Jesus, God's gift to us, came in a remarkable, extraordinary way, and so we, God's gift to Jesus, came in a remarkable way. Jesus was given to us, and the first step in our being given to Jesus was that Jesus revealed God's word to us. See, no one comes to the Father except through the Son. So God sent Jesus Christ to earth to reveal God's word to people like you and me. The word was revealed by Jesus in everything that Jesus said and in everything that Jesus did while he was here on earth. And the word which Jesus revealed to us in his speech and in his doing was simply this: God so loved the world that he sent his Son so that all who believe in the Son may have eternal life. It's John 3:16, my translation. The word was that God loves us and that God has provided a way for us to live with him in paradise forever. And all we have to do to achieve that great gift is believe. Believe that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the world to tell us the truth and to love us into heaven. All we have to do is believe. Today, since Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, it is the Holy Spirit of God which moves on our hearts and our minds to reveal the truth of God's love. It is the Holy Spirit which reveals God's word to us now, just as Jesus did to those first disciples when he himself was physically here on earth. So the first step was that Jesus revealed God's word to them and to us. But notice that this first step was a step on God's part. He sent his son to earth to open paradise for us. Not because we deserved it or did anything that made us worthy of it, but because he loved us. Still, God loves us. And the Holy Spirit comes to tell us the truth. God loves us so. And he is continually opening the hearts of believers to the word. God loves us. Step number two, the gift, that's us, must believe and obey. To be blunt, the Holy Spirit may lead you to the Kool-Aid, but he won't force you to drink it. Unless you choose to believe in Jesus as your Savior, you will never have eternal life, and you will never become God's gift to Jesus. To be God's gift to Jesus, we must trust Jesus to save us, and then we must resolve to obey what Jesus has taught us in the Bible. So, if we trust Jesus to save us, we will obey Jesus' teachings. We will become God's gift to Jesus. And because we are God's precious gift to Jesus, Jesus prays for us. I'll maybe cry in a minute, but right now, at this very moment, picture this in your head. Right at this moment, Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. Right now, our high priest, dressed in all his splendor, is interceding for us to the Father. He does not do this for those who do not believe and who do not obey. It is right there in the text Lil read to you. Jesus said, "I am not praying for the world." Only those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord receive this special treatment. The prayer, the intercessory prayer of the high priest, is for those who believe. Those who refuse to accept Jesus as their high priest and make him their Savior and their Lord do not have an advocate for the Father. They are on their own. No one is pleading for them. But because we are God's gift to him, and because Jesus holds dear all that the Father has given to him, he prays for you and he prays for me. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and if you attempt to live obediently according to his word, right now, Jesus prays for you. And that text that Lil read to us says that we bring glory to Jesus. Now, honestly, this one blows my mind. It's hard to grasp. Okay? You and I are God's gift to Jesus. Jesus is therefore praying for us. And somehow, we bring glory to Christ. Now, it is certainly not through our overwhelming obedience that we bring him glory. We are all sinners who continually fall short of the glory of God. The scripture says that. And yet our desire to be obedient children of God is so pleasant to Jesus that he takes glory in our feeble attempts. When we seek to honor the Son, it honors the Father. Because we have listened to Jesus, we honor the Father, for nothing that comes from Jesus is apart from God. And by doing that, we bring glory to Jesus. I cannot imagine it. That he loves me in my weakness? Yeah. That I am God's gift to him? Maybe. That he takes glory in me? It is overwhelming. And the text says that because we are glory to him and God's gift to him, Jesus prays for our protection. He prays for our protection because we live in this world. While it was made by God and will eventually be restored to the glory of our Father, may it happen today, amen. It is now ruled by Satan. And while we are in this world, we are subject to its misunderstanding, to its deception and error, and even to its persecution. Without the protection of God, friends, we are helpless. Tossed, the scripture says, to and fro by the waves of life. But Jesus, God bless Jesus, the high priest asks God, he whispers it in the ear of God, Father, protect them. According to the scripture read to you today, Jesus prays, Holy Father. Holy means set apart, different from. The world implies that there is a great difference between God and all other beings, even you and me. He is all powerful. He is robed in light. He is surrounded in truth. He is as different from me and you as day is different from night. The theologians declare that he is totally other. It means that he is holy. But the holy God, the all-powerful ruler of the universe, is still our Father. We live in intimate relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So he who is unapproachable by such as you and me invites us to come close to him in love. Not only is he holy, and he is holy, but to each of us who believe in him, he is Father. Just Father. Jesus prays, Holy Father, protect them. Literally, it means keep them safe. It's a dangerous place. Satan is the ruler of this age. We are weak. We are helpless. Like the song said that the men stood in front of you and sang in profession to God. We are prone to wander away from God's safe place. Even the strongest of us is too weak to prevail. Book of Romans. God says, his power is made perfect in our weakness. He puts his great arms, his great strong arms around us, and he holds us in the safety of his powerful hands, because he loves us. We need fear nothing this world can throw against us, because our Father is the all-powerful one. Well, come on. Sometimes we think we are wiser than God, don't we? Sometimes we are simply stubborn and senseless. Sometimes we are foolish beyond measure and willingly abandon the protection of God. And because He has given us free will, we wander away from the Word revealed to us in Jesus Christ. But though we may leave Him, He never leaves us. And when we submit again to His will and return to His side, He wraps those great strong arms of love and protection around us again. Because He's not only holy, He is Father. Jesus prayed, "Protect them by the power of your name." And the name of the Lord is Yahweh. I am. Not I was. Not I used to be, as the world would tell you. But I am. Right now, I am. He remains the strong tower. And those who run into Him are saved. His name is exalted and above every other name. To Him be power and glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Protect them, Father, by the power of your name, so that they may be one. This is the desired outcome of Jesus' protection, the unity of believers. But the unity of the church is today shattered by the disobedience of those for whom Jesus prays. Too many of us in the church today hide in the church and do not believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Too many in the church today do not obey all that Jesus said and all that is written of Him in the Scripture. But then, unless they believe and obey, they are not of the Father. And they are not those for whom Jesus prayed. What fragments the church is disobedient saints. But listen to me now. The day will come when all of us who are true believers in Jesus Christ will meet Him in the sky and be taken home to the glory of the Father. And when that day happens, the great prayer which Jesus prayed and is set before us today will be fully answered. There in the kingdom of our Holy Father, we will discover that with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, we are one.